From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, January 18th, 2018. And on this day, propane users might have an especially hard time getting fuel when there's high demand, but there's disagreement over how best to deal with that. And we'll get some of the details about how Central Maine Power responded to October's windstorm and how much it's going to cost people. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
Members of Maine's congressional delegation say they don't want to see a federal government shutdown, but they say a partial shutdown is possible if no agreements reached by Friday night. Mal Leary has our story.
Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the presidency, but they still may not be able to garner the votes needed to pass even a short-term government spending bill. Republican Congressman Bruce Poliquin says in a written statement that he will vote for a continuing resolution crafted by House GOP leadership in order to avoid a shutdown. Democrat Shelley Pingree also believes that government funding should be continued to provide more time to work out a budget for the rest of the year. Pingree says negotiations have been complicated by President Trump's flip-flopping on key budget issues, including the reauthorization of the Children's Health Insurance Program. Thursday morning, the president tweeted that he was opposed to including CHIP in the funding bill.
Only to come to find out he didn't really understand it was for 6 years, not 30 days. Once that's explained to him, now he's back on board. But, you know, that just causes this level of chaos and confusion.
Pingree, who serves on the House Appropriations Committee, says most of the work for a yearly budget has been completed and is frustrated that leadership has not brought the budget to the floor for a vote. Republican Susan Collins, who serves on the Senate Appropriations Committee, says she's frustrated by Congress's continued use of short-term, stopgap funding measures and failure to pass a budget for the year by the October 1st deadline.
When we do these stopgap continuing resolutions, they lock in last year's priorities. They don't provide additional funding for programs that need it. They don't terminate programs that should be ended.
Collins says she wants to see the work of the two appropriations committees brought to the floor for votes so it then can move on to the conference committee process. She says other issues should be considered separately by the Congress. She told reporters in Washington that she will probably vote for another continuing resolution reluctantly. But independent Senator Angus King, appearing on CNN, threatened to vote against a continuing resolution.
I'm sick of voting for CRs. This is no way to govern. We haven't had a budget in 20 years on time. We've had five CRs a year. This is the fourth one this year. I think we've got to close this escape hatch, stop voting for CRs.
But King went on to say he might vote for a very short-term funding bill that would last a few days in order to get all the paperwork done to pass a budget to cover the rest of the year. If some legislation that provides funding for government services is not signed into law by Friday at midnight, there will be a partial shutdown of the federal government. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Central Maine Power Company says the response and recovery from the October windstorm will cost more than $68 million. That's a preliminary estimate submitted to the state today. And as Fred Bever reports, in the short term, company officials say they'll seek to charge a portion of that, $27 million, to customers.
If the new charges were collected over a single year, it would add about $1.30 a month to consumer bills, the company says. CMP notes that would be higher, but it's already collected a storm recovery reserve from customers that's keeping the bill effect down. And in a telephone press conference, Eric Stiniford, the company's chief of regulatory affairs, says the tab might be further offset by the cut in the corporate tax rate recently signed into law by President Trump.
It is our expectation that the rate benefits of that tax legislation will be available to substantially offset these costs and may, in fact, completely offset them.
These are just preliminary estimates, however, and regulators are expected to take months to make a final ruling. In addition, the company will seek to collect from customers the cost to replace poles and wires lost or damaged in the storm. The company's director of electric operations, Kevin Elwell, says distribution lines were severely damaged.
The storm was unprecedented in the number of customers affected, an estimated 467,000, and the extent of the damage across our service territory included thousands of mature trees from outside of the maintenance clearance zone were broken or uprooted and fell into our poles and lines. Damage was on nearly every distribution circuit, resulting in more than 1,400 broken poles.
In general, CMP officials say the company responded well to the historic storm. There were also some vulnerabilities exposed, chief among them the need to make the smart meter grid monitoring system more resilient against power losses. It was severely impaired in the storm, and then there's the issue of communications. Customers and others have filed complaints about the company's response with state regulators. Mark Russell, who chairs Litchfield Select Board, says communications from CMP were poor during the storm, and he says that because the company prioritized power restoration, downed but still electrified lines made some parts of town a no-go zone in the early days of the recovery.
It is very dangerous and very, very concerning for anybody involved. I mean, do you send a public works crew in thinking that possibly they might be in danger of being electrocuted so that, you know, 20 people on the other side of the trees could get an ambulance if they had to? You know, that's a tough call.
He says CMP should make safety of those downed power lines more of a priority. CMP's Eric Stiniford had no immediate response to that idea, but he acknowledged communications need to be addressed.
Our primary means of coordinating emergency issues such as that in a storm event of this magnitude is through the county and state EMAs. And I'm not sure in the specific case of the town of Litchfield where the communications may have broken down, but that is certainly something we'll be investigating.
While state regulators review the company's filings and take public comments, some lawmakers are also weighing in. Representative Seth Berry, a Bodenham Democrat, has emerged as one of the utility's most outspoken critics. Under state rules, he says, shareholders will likely be limited to $2 million for their share of storm costs. And he says CMP should be held accountable for the elimination of more than 140 meter reader jobs back in 2009.
Those individuals would have gone out in the field and would have assessed the damage, mapped it out so that the line crews, the line workers, could have worked efficiently to take care of the problems. The problem was not a shortage of line workers, but it was a lack of coordination.
CMP says elimination of the meter reader jobs had no effect on storm recovery. Emera Maine, meanwhile, submitted its accounting of the storm response late in the day. It says it will seek to recover some $7.3 million from customers for the costs, which will amount to about $2.50 a month on average monthly bills. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
A bipartisan group of lawmakers is trying to fast-track a bill they say could help Mainers who use propane to heat their homes to get through the next cold snap or a fuel shortage. But the emergency proposal could hit a roadblock over concerns that it could put homeowners on the hook if there's an accident. Steve Missler has details.
The recent cold snap left many Mainers shivering in their homes. And there are several reasons why heating fuel companies struggle to keep up with their desperate calls for a refill. An emergency bill sponsored by Democratic State Senator Bill Diamond attempts to fix one of them, at least for propane customers.
People are really scared, and I think we have to try something.
customers typically rent propane tanks, and in most situations, only the propane company that leases the tank can legally fill it. That means a homeowner can't order propane from another company if the one they lease the tank from runs out or is experiencing a delay. Diamond told lawmakers on the Judiciary Committee that his bill would end that prohibition when the governor declares a heating fuel-related emergency, as Governor Paul LePage recently did. Diamond says that while the cold snap is over, the concern about a propane shortage isn't. Roughly half of Maine's propane comes into Auburn from Canada by rail. But recently, there was an accident on the rail bridge spanning the St. Lawrence River that could squeeze off the supply.
So we have a legitimate severe shortage right now and probably going to get a little worse over the next few days for just something that was just an accident.
Supporters say the bill is a common sense proposal that could help some Mainers during the shortage. Lawmakers in New York apparently agree. They're fast-tracking a similar proposal. But others aren't sold on the idea.
When propane tanks go, they go boom.
Charlie Sultan is a lobbyist speaking on behalf of the Maine Association of Insurance Companies, which opposes the bill. Sultan told lawmakers that the proposal shifts liability from the fuel company that owns the propane tank to potentially the homeowner, who may be forced to sue if there's an explosion or an accident. Sultan brandished a copy of a white paper commissioned by the National Propane Gas Association to make his point. It says container laws like Maine's are common throughout the country because fuel companies are liable for their tanks and therefore have an incentive to take care of them. Richard Thompson with the Maine Trial Lawyers Association agreed, and Thompson wasn't persuaded by the argument that the liability problem could be alleviated by a provision in the bill that allows fuel companies to fill another's tank only if they have a specific agreement with the other fuel company.
It's a bad idea. You're putting the homeowner in a bad position. And you're creating a kind of a fantasy world of immunities.
Several lawmakers on the Judiciary Committee were also skeptical. Rather than immediately approve the bill and send it to the full legislature, the committee decided to hold another work session to see if the proposal can be salvaged. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, January 18th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.